Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's start today with the MBTA, which means a conversation about money. Yesterday, the T Fiscal Control Board voted to consider fare increases as much as 10% every other year. There was also news that one quarter of T workers will make more than $100,000 this year, with one worker getting paid as much as $315,000 for working over 4,000 hours in 2015. So joining us now with more is Brian Shortsleeve. He's chief administrator of the MBTA. Brian Shortsleeve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Magna, how are you? Thanks for having me today.
I'm doing great. I'm not sure T riders are feeling the same way with the news that you guys want to consider a 10% fare increase every other year. Why is that?
Well, Magna, we're totally focused on balancing next year's budget. Every move we make, you know, we're making thinking about our riders and what's best for our riders. Most of our focus in next year's budget is around internal cost control. We believe there's real opportunities to reduce internal costs, and we've put out a list of more than 27 ideas, of which 20 of them are internal cost related. That being said, everything's on the table. Revenues are an important part of the discussion. We're looking at not only fares, which will be a very active discussion in the month of January. We have 10 public meetings scheduled, but we're also working hard to maximize own source revenues, things like advertising, parking, and real estate.
Brian Schultz, let me just jump in here, because I completely understand that there are lots of ideas on the table.
Sure.
You and I have discussed a bunch of them, and in future we will discuss even more. But I do want to focus on this question of fares, because it's the one that's gotten all the heat right now. So as I read the legislation regarding fare hikes at the MBTA, it says that the T shall not increase fares at intervals of less than 24 months or at an annual rate of greater than 5%. So we can discuss the math in just a minute, but why did you guys decide to go with a 10% biannual fare increase?
Well, what the control board did yesterday was adopt a fare policy, and the fare policy has not yet laid out a set of scenarios for a fare increase. What it did is, as per the law, indicate that the fare increase will not exceed 10% every 2 years or 5% every year. So I think what you've seen there is a setup for what the structure is. Now, within that, there's a lot of flexibility. You can raise fares, you can raise all fares, you can raise some fares, you can introduce concepts around means testing. We can also look at the way we price the monthly pass and the multiple of the monthly pass in relation to how many trips it gets someone and what the price per trip is. So I think there's going to be a lot of flexibility, and we're going to have a dialogue about it.
Mm.
But certainly the reading, I think the way that we read the legislation is that the legislation was written to enable the T to raise fares 5% every year or 10% every other year.
Yeah, it does say or at an annual rate greater than 5%, that you shall not increase fares at an annual rate greater than 5%. I have to say we're kind of a numbers nerds here at Radio Boston, so we spreadsheeted this thing. We compared what it would be at a 5% annual rate increase versus a 10% biannual rate increase. It's virtually the same thing. I got to ask you a political question, though. You guys picked the bigger number. You picked 10%, every 2 years, and it's bigger in terms of, like, the shock factor, right? Not necessarily the actual impact. That set up a political fight that you don't necessarily need. Why did you do that?
Well, we're looking at the 2017 budget. That's our focus. As you know, we're $240 million in a deficit position next year. We're trying to balance that budget. Fares were not increased in fiscal 16, so I think what we're focused on for fiscal 17, starting in June or July, is what is the right fare policy. So I think as we look at fiscal 17, the question asked was kind of what is the latitude around fares, given the fares didn't increase last year.
Mm. Now, there is a significant amount of debate over how much of the T's overall budget should be coming from riders. I don't necessarily want to dive into the numerical details around that debate, but there are a lot of riders out there right now who say, we are already paying enough. And in fact, if we're going to be asked to pay 5% in addition every year or 10% every 2 years, that's much higher than the pace of inflation. And B, we're not getting necessarily better service at the end of the day either. So why ask us for more when we're not getting more?
We certainly understand our riders are frustrated. The T failed last winter. The team here now is working very hard to get the system working better, as well as restore the T to financial and fiscal sustainability, but we absolutely understand the frustration riders have with us. I think when you talk about targets, the legislature back in 2009 set a target for the T that the fare box recovery rate would be 50%, which means that the fares collected would be 50% of the operating expenses of the T. If you look at fiscal 15, we were at about 40%. So part of the fare policy discussion last week at the control board was how can we move the fare box recovery percentage from 40% up to 50% over time. But look, we understand riders' frustration, and we have to do better, and we're working very hard to do better. But it's also important that we restore the T to a fiscal and financial sustainability, because it's not going to do the riders or the general public any good if we can't get the T to a point where it operates in a sustainable way. Our goal for next year is to bring our rate of operating expense growth down to 2% or below. So we'd like to get to a point where our operating expenses are not growing faster than the pace of revenue. The T hasn't balanced a budget in more than 9 years. We're going to change that. If you look over the last 15 years, the T's added operating expense at the rate of about 5.5% per annum. Our goal is to bring that down significantly. And we're looking out not just to next year, but over the next 5 years. We want to deliver a T that can grow its operating expenses at a rate below its revenue growth so that the organization can sustain itself.
Well, Brian Schwartzlieb, Chief Administrator of the MBTA, stand by for just a moment because I do want to bring in the voice of Rafael Maris. He's Vice President and Director of Environmental Justice and Community Health at the Conservation Law Foundation. Rafael, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
So what's your reaction from what you've heard from Administrator Schwartzlieb about the reasons why they want to do a 10% fare increase every other year and how that fits into the overall goal of financial sustainability for the T?
So what's important to understand is that this law was passed with the best national policy in mind, and that is to have regular, predictable, and modest fare increases. And that has been analyzed to mean, you know, every other year, not a fare increase every year, and predictable so people know how much it is, and modest as in 5%. 5% kind of tracks inflation. And so what we have now, a 10% increase on the table, is a deviation from that, and it is clearly not predictable because people were expecting 5%, and it's not modest either.
Interesting. I feel like there's a big Beacon Hill fight brewing over the word "or" that I see in this legislation. It all turns on that word. But, you know, tell me, Rafael, I mean, Brian Schwartzlieb just described a little earlier something like, you know, he believes, and folks at the T believe, that riders should be paying 50% of the T's overall costs, and we're not there yet. I mean, is that just as a beginning place for this conversation? Do you agree with that?
Well, I think you need to look at what the experience of the rider is, not look at the budget for that. And the experience of the rider is that they just had a winter where the T wasn't working, where they literally, the T was shut down for days and they couldn't take it. And you need to think about what choice they have in the morning when they get up. The folks that are lucky enough to have a car can choose between taking the T or driving. And if you look at tolls over our bridges and tunnels and compare them to those in other comparable cities like San Francisco, Washington, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, what you will find is that we have the lowest tolls on our bridges and tunnels by far. And so it sets up an incentive. And if you increase fares on top of that, it sets up an incentive for people to drive rather than to take the T.
Brian Schwartz, let me turn back to you on that, because we were thinking today, you know, at what point do the other alternatives that riders have really become way more attractive than the T? I mean, I was kind of half joking this morning, but my executive producer looked at me and said, it's not a joke. Like, at what point in time does Uber become a better way of traveling around Greater Boston than the T?
Well, let me first thank Rafael for joining. He's been a terrific voice for the riders. He's been an active participant in our control board, and I'm sure he and CLF will continue to be a real important voice as we get into January and do our public meeting. So, Rafael, thanks for your work and your advocacy. Look, I think from a T standpoint, look, we exist in a very competitive market. Uber's running over 2 million trips a month in Massachusetts right now. So Uber's booming. Lyft is booming. Companies like Bridge that are running bus service are booming. So I think we live in a very competitive environment. There's a lot of options that people have. That being said, our goal is to deliver the best product we can in a financially sustainable way for our riders, because there's a lot of alternatives out there. One of the things we're hoping to do at the T here is integrate ourselves much more with those services. We're very close to getting a pilot done with Uber on the ride. We're talking about Bridge, about helping us out on late night. So I think a lot of those new emerging ride-sharing platforms should be outfits that we can partner with to extend the user experience.
Okay. Well, so before we wrap up here, we just got a couple minutes to go. I mean, we talked a lot about the fare side of the equation, but we have to talk about for a minute or two about the cost side, because there's also this report that overtime wages for T workers, the Fiscal Control Board heard a presentation that said almost a quarter of the T's employees have grossed over $100,000 a year. And then there's on top of that, there's overtime payments, which at least one of them was quite eye-popping. I mean, Rafael Maris, what do you think about cost control on the employment side of things for the T?
So I'd like to return the favor and thank Brian for all his leadership and his great work that he's done. Since he started, the T has looked much more in much more detail at data and has considered a lot of cost reductions and savings that previously weren't considered. So I really appreciate the work that he's done. I think in that context, it's really important to understand that the $242 million deficit for the coming fiscal year will be reduced by $187 million that the governor plans to put in there. And that is an amount that is lower than what the legislature had previously actually dedicated to the T for this coming fiscal year, which was $262 million. So, but taking the $187 million number, it leaves only a $55 million gap that, my understanding from the report that came out today and from previous presentations, has already been covered with cost savings. So it doesn't seem like a good time to do a fare increase. But to answer your question, those numbers about how many workers are over 100,000 a year included back pay. So we need to see the adjusted numbers for that. That said, it's really important that we run an efficient system, and it strikes me that with this winter there was a lot of overtime, and if we had more staff, the example that you used is an employee who worked over 4,000 hours this year. That just can't be productive, and there's got to be a better way to do this.
Rafael Maris, hang in there for just a second. Brian Shortsley, we have about 30 seconds to go, so I'm going to give the last thought to you. I mean, is renegotiating T contracts, employment contracts, as important to you as raising fares?
What's most important to me is reducing our operating cost. We have got to focus on productivity here. We've got to find ways to do our job more efficiently. We're very focused on reducing overtime. We've identified a lot of internal cost savings we can get without affecting the rider experience. So I think our job as a team is to deliver in fiscal 17 and 18
right.
T whose operating expenses are growing at a rate below revenues so that we are sustainable. And I think we've got a lot of ideas on the table. We're going to be working really hard, and we're also going to continue to operate in an environment of a kind of extreme transparency. We're trying to put everything out there for the public every week and
gotcha.
See what we're working on and understand what the numbers are.
Well, Brian Shortsleeve is Chief Administrator of the MBTA. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Meghna. Thanks, Rafael.
And Rafael Maris with the Conservation Law Foundation, thank you for your perspective as well.
Thank you for having me.